Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He'll cut in line at the grocery store. He's cut in front of his own kids at the snow cone stand for the last mango pineapple. And now he's demanding his own segment. Here's Cody's Corner.
That's right. My time again. Even though I feel like I spent too much time complaining about the Royals today, but they're frustrating, okay? They've been very, very, very frustrating. You were the game two nights ago? Not last night.
I was at Monday night's game. The extra inning game.
The extra inning loss.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
They came back, scored three in the eighth, you know? Guess who started that offense? Ryan O'Hearn.
Are we going to talk about any of the other bad he's done over this week or no? Just that one time he got on base with a single.
Just focusing in on that, all right?
Just focusing in on that.
When he's a pinch hitter, he takes care of it.
The thing I have to talk about today is the Chiefs and why I think we should probably be a little more annoyed with Orlando Brown Jr. going forward. Because I think what's happening here, and while there's no new news in this department, I already feel the rug getting ready to be pulled. I think the setup is happening from Brett Veach, so that he doesn't look as bad when they don't give Orlando Brown Jr. a contract extension, so that in the end of all of this, they don't sign him to a deal, even though they gave up a first round pick for him, which I don't think, by the way, is the worst decision. Because if Orlando Brown Jr. wants to be the highest paid left tackle in all of football, you shouldn't do it, because you just turned down making Tyreek Hill the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. And he actually had an argument on being the best receiver in the NFL. Orlando Brown Jr. does not have that same claim. And what I think is happening here is either it really is having an impact or the Chiefs want you to. There's only two options here. Either it really is having an impact on their ability to sign free agents, because every time that they don't sign a Melvin Ingram, because he's signed with a different team, or sign a, it doesn't matter, James Bradbury, or giving Tyreek Hill the extra money, or the extra moves they want to make in the offseason, Brett Veach always brings up the fact that they're working on this Orlando Brown Jr. deal first. So he makes it seem like the reason they're not spending in free agency is because Brown's deal's not done. So either that is true, or what I think is happening is Brett Veach is, and this isn't talking to other people in the industry, it's like Brett Veach is setting himself up. He's setting himself up so when he walks away on this deal, you're going to feel like it makes sense as the audience. You're going to say, yeah, of course, man, I'm not paying Orlando Brown Jr., best left tackle in the NFL money. Forget about that first round pick they gave up for and move on. And honestly, that is the correct move. You should not pay Orlando Brown Jr. this. And because he won't get a damn agent, I think we should be more annoyed at him than he is. That he wants to be paid like the top left tackle, because he's not. And that he doesn't have an agent, so he could actually tell him what his market value is.
Yeah, I mean, I think when they gave up a first round pick a year ago for him, at that very time, one of the first reactions we all had was, oh, well, that means you're going to have to give him a new contract here very soon. He's going to have a new contract, and he's probably going to want to be paid the highest left tackle in football.
Not like, sure about that
nobody,
anymore,
nobody's
you?
Surprised. Well, no, sure about what?
Orlando Brown Jr. getting a contract. Are you confident he's going to get it?
Am I confident as I was 2 months ago? No, but I don't think it's a done deal that he's not getting one.
No, I think it's like 50-50.
I will say this. We talked about it when Pete Sweeney was in studio with us last week, that if it plays out to where he ends up playing on the franchise tag, and right now he, of course, is tagged $16 million or so. The deadline to agree to a long-term deal is July 15th or 14th, whatever it is. And so that's going to be the time frame to really watch and see where we're at. But let's say he does play on the franchise tag because they don't get a long-term deal done. Then next offseason, it is further removed from giving up the first-round pick. But to me, the minute you gave up that first-round pick, you were in a position to where you were going to extend him and he was going to be your left tackle of the future. What you're saying absolutely could potentially be how it plays out. But I'm not there yet to where I think the Chiefs are willing to just totally give up on. Now, listen to Brett Veach a couple weeks ago. This was on the 25th of April, so three-plus weeks ago now at this point. This is what Brett Veach said then on where they were at with Orlando Brown.
So we did have dialogue with him, and then during the course of that dialogue, he's taken a step back and he's got kind of redoing the agent process. And where we are right now, and in addition to the Tyreek Hill trade, with our cap and having flexibility now, it allows us to take a step back, get through this draft. We certainly anticipate that once the draft's over, I'm sure there'll be a point that there's a finality to him going out there and finding an agent. And then, we'll have a ton of time to talk. And you guys know how the Chris Jones deal went, where it was, it was right there toward the end. That's typically how a lot of these things go, where there's no rush on either side. On one end, the player likes to take their time and to really assess the current and future markets. On the flip side, the team is going through a draft process and they have a ton on their plate and they're trying to get through meetings and get through the board. And then usually after, everyone just takes a deep breath and the draft ends and there's that chunk of time in between the final mandatory OTAs. There's a lot of dialogue.
Well, now we're in the middle of that chunk of time. Again, that was Brett Veach back on April 25th. That's why he was still referencing the draft. That was kind of one of the last times he spoke about Orlando Brown Jr., who to this point in time, we still don't know if he has an agent. Maybe does. Who knows? But
as far as I can tell, doesn't right now.
I do think... we all know nothing's happening anytime soon, though. With that deadline being the middle of July, this doesn't it have the feel if it's going to be right up against it? Like he referenced the Chris Jones situation from a couple years ago. But this has been slow played from the beginning from Orlando Brown Jr. The minute that interview, I think it was with Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, probably a month and a half ago, came out where it was his mentor was quoted and things like that. It told you that he was in no hurry.
Okay, so if Orlando Brown Jr. wants $24 million a year, you're paying it? That would make him the highest paid left tackle on the NFL by $1 million per year. Because I won't.
So,
I wouldn't if I were the Chiefs.
When they traded for him, I said, you're going to have to give him a deal. And at that point in time, we said, probably going to have to make him the highest paid left tackle. Like, this isn't a surprise. This isn't anything new.
No, I've watched him play and he's good at it, but he's not the best left tackle.
Not saying he's the best left tackle in football at all. He's not. Unfortunately, there's guys that aren't the best of their position that sometimes get paid like they're the best, and you don't have to pay that guy. No reason the Chiefs should have to do it. But we can acknowledge the fact they traded away a first-round pick for him puts you in a little bit of a corner, unless you let him play on the tag this year, and it's a year further away. Because you can say that, okay, well, then just let him play on the franchise tag and move on. Well, just understand that next offseason, unless Kennard develops into something or they go the round, they move Tooney over to left tackle, then you are going to need to find a left tackle with one of your premium picks again next year or go out and spend premium money on one. So you got to be willing to do that.
Now, the premium money one, that doesn't matter at all because I'm already going to have to spend that.
Right, but you can't – it makes no sense also to – you can't just not – you can't move on from Orlando Brown Jr. and then be like, well, we'll figure out the rest later and act like that's not a huge void if he's gone either.
Oh, I'm not pretending like it's not a problem. I'm just saying I still wouldn't do it. Like, this is the conversation.
Because he's not the best left tackle in football.
I'm just
nobody's
confused about why you were unwilling to. And I get, value of position is playing some factor here, but that big of a factor? Tyreek Hill is a much more important player. Like, Orlando Brown, Tyreek Hill. They played those two positions. One guy had a massively bigger impact on their success last year. It was Tyreek Hill. So we're not willing to pay him top wide receiver money, but we are willing to pay Orlando Brown Jr. because positional value doesn't matter there because they were on the same damn team and one guy mattered more. Noticeably mattered more. And to me, it's if I'm not willing to pay Tyreek, I'm not willing to pay Orlando Brown. No way.
It's a fair argument. It's a fair argument. I can't, but... again, the fact that they gave up a first round pick here recently, I think changes the dynamic a little bit.
That I think that makes them harder to want to let it go.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But I think sometimes you just have to swallow a loss. yeah, you traded it because you thought you were going to get a long term deal. He doesn't have an agent. He's not that kind of personality type. He's gonna. Yeah. And I'm not even sure.
July. We have middle of July. I don't think the fact that he hasn't signed today. We should have. We did it on the show. The minute the comments came out from his mentor, we all said, oh, he's slow playing this. Nothing's happening anytime soon.
The one thing I would say is I don't think he can get top left tackle money in the market if he were a free agent.
I think somebody would.
This
somebody
is where
with
I
more
think
cap it, space would have. So still left tackle. You and I value left tackle way different, too, I think. But
it's one of the most important positions
and so
on
some,
the field.
Somebody with more cap space would have given him the money. He's at his age, even again, we've seen this time and time again. You don't have to, and doesn't mean the team should, but there's some team, even if you're not the best at your position, if the timing is right, your age is right, and you're healthy, which he fits that criteria.
He fits all those.
Then teams are willing to pay you what the market rate is. even if you're not the best at the position. Doesn't mean that I'm not saying the Chiefs should do that, but we see that happen all the time. It's not this crazy idea to suggest that someone gets paid like the best of their position when they're really not. Derek Carr was once the highest paid quarterback in football. He's never been the best quarterback in football. So it does happen.
I mean, at least at that position. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't, but it's just like Trent Williams just got paid. This is why he needs an agent.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff can be worked out. Because if his agents tell him he can get top paid money, then you guys are probably just going to be at an odds anyway. You know, what are you going to do at that point? You're just stuck. But
I just think we got to wait another month plus. I think we got to wait another month plus to where you start really like, oh my gosh. We're still just under two months away from the deadline. So we know deadlines spur action. I think we'll start to hear a lot more over the next month plus.
Speaking of money.
Yeah.
Dime time.
Oh.
Because he's money because he talked about money in the
Well,
tweet.
His takes are money, but also dimes is a form of currency.
Oh.
It's a
he's playing lots of ways.
Legal American tender. Yeah. Dime. That's because it's a ten penny. Also,
a penny.
The 10 of them, which are the same as dimes. Last night, we've always known Singer has the stuff. It's just putting together consistent, good outings. What a start.
I don't disagree.
Go ahead and sound off on that, Cody.
Fully, but although in fairness, he only ever had two pitches. So I didn't know he had a third pitch. That only recently showed up.
I'm thinking yesterday may have been Chris Tenpenny's birthday because he did say Melendez and Isbell in the same lineup. Singer pitching later today. Happy birthday to me. I don't know if it was actually his birthday.
I don't think it was.
Because I actually was on the phone with Dimes yesterday, and I didn't wish him a happy birthday. So I'm going to be dismayed if that was his birthday and we missed an opportunity.
Like you spoke on a phone? It wasn't even a text. You spoke on the phone?
Correct.
He called you?
No, I called him.
Oh, because he's going to be in on Friday.
Yeah, I'm a big phone call guy. I'm a big let's talk on the phone. I'm not a big text guy.
We know
have a conversation. Whatever happened to that? When did we as a country get away from that?
Phone calls?
Yeah, whatever happened to just like, hello, how are you? Hey, it's me, Nick. How's it going? Yeah.
And when people realize that a lot of things can be accomplished just over a text very quickly instead of calling.
But I want to hear your voice. I want to have a conversation. You want to just stop by my house? You don't need to let me know first.
No,
you don't need
you
to
do.
Text me and say, what's up? Just come over.
I hate what? The pop-in.
No.
Anti-poppin.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Guys, Dimes doesn't have a whole lot else over the last couple days.
That's it?
So
he's been kind of quiet. Maybe
he's
saving him maybe
for, he's saving him for Friday when he's in studio.
Okay, I got one for you. How about this? Do I blame Terry Bradshaw or Eric Bieniemy for Benny and Salvi not coming through? I can't keep track anymore. It's a topical reference. And he's bringing back some Eric Bieniemy stuff. If you guys remember earlier in the offseason, a lot of people were pinning the Chiefs' playoff struggles on Eric Bieniemy.
But never any of the credit for when they succeed, right. Because that's
how
the way
that
this
works. Uh-huh. That's dime time.
Dime time.
Sports do love a good scapegoat, don't they?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up in 10 minutes or so. This could set up to be fascinating for this season. And this being Baker Mayfield still on the Browns roster. Deshaun Watson just met with the NFL or is supposed to this week to maybe wrap up what could be a suspension and what that's going to look like. And Ian Rapoport continues to report that Baker Mayfield could actually start for the Browns if Deshaun Watson faces a long-term suspension. So 6 games, 8 games, 10 games, whatever. That this scenario, just imagine for a second. If you're Baker, where you're at right now, untradeable.
No home. No team seems to want you.
Nobody really wants you. Now, if you were a free agent, somebody would have signed you, but you're not. As awkward as it might be, and as upset as you might be with the Browns if you're Baker Mayfield, if you told me that Deshaun Watson was suspended for 10 games and the Browns came crawling back to you, said, look, we know what's been said. We know you're not here long term. You're our starter for 10 games. You, of course, are starting for 10 games because
you
can
only... That sounds like one of the most awkward situations anyone has ever been in.
Awkward, but it's very Cleveland. It's awkward and it's very Cleveland. Imagine if he got off to a great start. He would only increase his value. But the awkwardness would be, let's say the Browns as a team got off to a great start. And then Deshaun Watson, and a guaranteed $240 million to, is eligible to come back, let's say, week 10. And Baker's playing well. That's all the drama I'm here for. That'd be amazing to see how that plays out. But if you're Baker, the only way to up your value and get a bigger deal next year with anybody is if you play this year for someone. And that would present the best opportunity, as awkward as it would be, if Rappaport is correct that the suspension could be long enough, the Browns would just start Baker.
What are the Browns doing? Why would you do, like, you can't win this year. Like, I know you think you can.
What are they supposed to do, though? So if Deshaun got suspended 12 games tomorrow.
Start Brissett. I don't care. Oh. Start whoever. Not start the guy you openly fired.
He's under contract with you still. Why not utilize
it? Going to fire. And you have nothing to gain. You can't trade Baker Mayfield ever.
What?
Like, let's say he plays
nothing
10
to gain.
Really,
I wouldn't agree with that. Nothing to gain.
If he plays 10 great games, why would you trade for him? He's definitively a free agent.
No, they wouldn't have any increased trade value. But the trade-off is that, my quarterback that I paid $240 million to is unavailable for 10 or 12 weeks, and Baker actually got us to a 6-4 mark. We have a chance to still get in the playoffs versus riding off the entire season. That's what you get out of it if you're the Browns.
You think you're a borderline playoff team and Deshaun Watson rides you off into the Super Bowl
sunset?
That's
got to be their thought.
Okay. Well, then they're just
paying
as delusional.
$240 million. They obviously think he's that guy.
Completely delusional. They're just living in a fantasy land.
You don't think Deshaun Watson could ever take a team to the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think he could take one just popping in week 10. Someone's going to point out Nick Foles to me.
Why do you keep saying popping in? Stop saying that.
Wow.
Because you said it earlier when you were talking about, I'm not a fan of the pop-ins.
Okay, well, now we're just back on it. That's a different thing.
I just don't like the verbiage.
Okay,
especially, fair. Yeah.
I'm popping in.
I feel like Baker Mayfield should refuse. Shouldn't he?
And then not get paid anything?
His problem is if he had played well last year, he could refuse this. But because he played so poorly, no one thinks he's any good.
His best chance.
If he's a free agent next year, does he get a starting job in the NFL? And I would have, before the way the NFL went recently, I would have said yes, but there are not that many job openings. I think best case scenario for him is he'd end up in one of those job competitions with like the third year rookie quarterback they're not really believing in. So they're putting something up against him just to see if it's worse.
But to your question, to your question, though, why would Baker play? It's because if he plays and plays well, his value next offseason as a free agent is way
more,
different.
Yeah.
He can't hurt his stock at this point. It's about as low as it gets. That's it. Like, he's a free agent after this year. And also, if you
just
even,
like through gritted teeth, having to play for a team that is one of those, like, maybe you could win the job back scenarios. Deshaun Watson's dead cap hit number next year is $260 million.
Yeah, he's not a long-term option.
He's their starter.
But if your other take is, well, then just have Baker, well, he should just out of spite sit out. Is he really going to, if the Browns were willing to start him for X amount of games, he can make money. If he refuses to play, he doesn't get paid. I don't know about you. Baker Mayfield, still a nice chunk of change next year on the books if he wants it. Not bad. It's a rookie contract. It's still money. I know now that you make so much now, maybe you don't, Cody. Maybe you don't value it as much as you once did.
$8 million is going to be paid or whatever.
There is money to still be made if he actually cooperates and plays. I get it. He's upset, but
he's going to get some of that money whether they cut him or not.
Some of it. But right now, the base salary is $18.8 million.
No, that's pretty good. How are they gonna hold on to that contract?
They're obviously in different spots in different
areas. That's the other reason why they shouldn't start him. They're going to cut him so that they can get any amount of that money back. You need any of that money going forward. You just give a fully guaranteed contract to a completely unknown commodity who you're going to just be paying more and more every year after this year because you gave him a $1 million base salary. Like, Like, you've got to do something. Like, I cannot remember a situation as awkward like this in the NFL. It sounds so painful.
Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour and a question that I don't think has been asked in Kansas City in a very long time.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2. Listen live or on demand right from your phone with the Odyssey app. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, the right fit for work, eeworkwear.com. We'll talk some Royals baseball 1 hour from now with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, our weekly visit with Vern. Of course, the Royals in action again tonight against the White Sox, part of this five-game series against Chicago that'll wrap up tomorrow afternoon. So I don't think this is a question you asked me. I don't think it's a question anybody's even remotely entertained for years in Kansas City. When it comes to the Chiefs.
Well, it's like a build off of a conversation. I'd like you just trying to put it on me. This is a build off of a conversation we had earlier.
I'll let you say the question, then I'll ask what I was going to follow up with. Go ahead.
Any chance the Chiefs suck?
Like, where is that? Like, does anybody actually think they're going to suck?
What does suck mean?
Are we talking
for the Chiefs?
Seven?
7-8 wins.
Okay.
Well, I think that would suck for any team. Yeah, any team that's planning on contending.
Oh, yeah. Because if
for
you're
normal
the
teams,
you're the Lions,
it's 3 or 4.
Because if you're the Lions, you would sign up for 8 wins right now. Different expectations. The fact that that question's even posed is interesting to me.
I'm just asking.
Is that where we're at?
Like, no, I'm just looking at the doomsday scenario. What does the doomsday scenario look like for you?
You like doomsday.
You don't think that there's, well, I mean, look, you're going to be the uber positive guy. Ryan O'Hearn's going to hit 1,000 home runs. He's going to sign a 10-year contract with the Royals.
You did say that.
It's all going to work out. It's all going to work out great.
Yes.
And I can say the Chiefs are going to win one game. They're going to be the number one overall pick. Mahomes going to retire. Yes. Fine. We can be on opposite ends of it, but really this is just about, for the Chiefs, because of the level of unknown, the only reason I'm asking is, do we think it's possible, is because of how little I feel like we know about this team. And they're playing toughest division they've ever had, playing the toughest competition they've ever had, and this is the most turnover they've ever had under the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid era. So I'm asking, is it possible? Last year, Russell Wilson's stats were fine.
Yep.
His team was bad.
And he was hurt and missed multiple
games.
He
had a thumb issue.
And they rushed him back, and he clearly couldn't throw the ball effectively in that first game back. I think it was a Sunday night or Monday night football game, and he was terrible in that game. They also, I think we would agree, have a head coach that continues to get in the way offensively in Pete Carroll, despite his track record of success in the past. So I think the dynamic there is a little bit different. For me, the low water mark of this team is 10 wins.
So no, your answer is no. You don't think they can suck.
Yeah, I still think
it's hard to go below that, isn't it? Because I feel the same way.
Unless you tell me that, I'm not going to even name the players, but you know the select few that were to get hurt this year, that's the only way I would see them winning in that 7 or 8 range. I don't think that's on the table whatsoever, barring major injuries to the wrong players, right? So, no. And you're saying, like, you mentioned, like, this is the most turnover, 100%. But I still look at Andy Reid as the head coach of the Chiefs. And we know what the track record is there, whether it was Alex Smith, whether it was Patrick Mahomes. We know their wins, right? We know where they're at, whether it's, like, they won 9 games in 2014. Other than that, it's 11, 12, 10, 12, 12, 14, 12. Like, they to think that they're going to go down to – no, I don't think it's
like, if all their wide receivers – essentially get their averages between Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, let's just say it's a regular rookie average of 600 yards, MVS 600 yards, McCartman, you're looking at like a 3,900-yard passer. And that doesn't include all the other little guys, maybe 4,200. That's worst-case scenario just based on guys getting their averages. So on offense, there's just no way. There's no way, even with all the unknown and all the different wide receiver stuff, knowing what we know about the offensive line, let's say just trade Orlando Brown Jr. before the season starts, which I don't think is going to happen. So if all of, like, even that, there's no scenario in which you're like, they're a bad offense. The only argument for this, and I don't think it's possible. Like, I just don't think the Chiefs can be bad. This happens to good teams. That's why I'm asking. It's been 4 years. It's been 8 years. Like, it's been a while. When's the last time the Chiefs were bad?
Well, does it
2012?
You said it happens to good teams. Does it happen in the middle of the prime of their quarterback, though? But in that season in which
Russell Wilson, 32,
when their
that's not a bad quarterback.
I was going to finish the sentence. Okay. Like, when their quarterback gets hurt, it required Russell Wilson getting hurt as well in that given scenario. Of course, if Mahomes and Kelce and guys get hurt,
all bets are
off the table. I'm talking about we're assuming everybody's healthy. The key guys are healthy. No, I don't. I mean, I was trying to look back. You mentioned the offense because you and I are in agreement that offensively they're
still. Because the Ravens had a bad year.
Correct. And
their quarterback got hurt.
Injury riddled throughout. Here's the teams that were towards the top of the league in points per game where you and I still think the Chiefs will be despite the changes. Because you can bring up defense, and I acknowledge the defense obviously has not been a strength by any means for this football team. It's not going to be a strength at all for this season either. But if you look at these were teams that were in the top 10 or 15. Of points per game, no matter, ignore what their defense was or wasn't. If you are in the top 10 or 15 points per game, is 7 wins or 8 wins even on the table? So the Cowboys were the highest scoring team in football last season, points per game. Obviously, they were a playoff team. They won more than 7 or 8 games.
Sure.
Bucks, Bills, Chiefs, Chargers, Patriots, Cincinnati.
Chargers, hold on. They did not make the postseason. They won 9 games.
But they
qualified that as close to bad.
Okay.
They win 9 or 8.
I don't. You have to look it up. So okay, there's one maybe, but still not 7 or 8. But yes, they didn't make the playoffs. Then the Patriots, Bengals.
They were 7-9. They had a bad year by that standard.
Okay. So there's one. Then Patriots, Bengals, Rams, Colts. They didn't make the playoffs, but
they won 9 games.
Packers, Cardinals, Eagles. That's like the top. That's the top 11 or so in scoring. My point being, yes, there's one example, but we would also agree the Chiefs are way better.
Oh, my God. The Chargers are the only team to score in the top 15.
Brandon Staley, ladies and gentlemen.
The only way I think it's even possible
and
is
they
if,
had the worst. They had the flat-out worst defense in football.
That's what I was getting ready to say. The only way it's possible for Kansas City is if their defense is, I mean, god-awful.
Man, I still think they're just better coached. Brandon Staley cost them 2 games.
But it's not a stretch to get to worst defense in the NFL for the Chiefs. Let's be honest in that.
No, but I'm talking about
one of the worst pass rush teams. They just got rid of their number one corner.
Yeah.
They got rid of a starting linebacker. They got rid of their all-pro safety. I mean, it's not that hard to take leap to. Could the Chiefs be the worst defense in the NFL? I don't think they are, but it's a much easier sell than the offensive end.
And just the two things I would say is, like, that's one out of the 12. And then also we would agree the Chiefs are just better coached. Not that Andy Reid doesn't have issues at times in game. Of course, we've talked about those before, but overall the Chiefs are a way better coached team than the LA Chargers. And I think at least one, if not two of the losses for the Chargers were on Brandon Staley with how he decided to handle it late, including one against the Chiefs.
Those fourth down decisions, boy, people really loved those early.
Oh, yeah. They loved his press conferences early, too. Look, I enjoyed listening to his press conferences early in the season as well. Everybody loved Brandon Staley. We'll see if things change if they struggle this year.
I mean, if they go 7-10. I hate the new records. If they struggle again this year, then we're having a whole different conversation. Like, I can't believe they didn't make the postseason. Almost every other team you mentioned. And that's the thing the answer is no to. If you finish in the top 10 in the NFL of offense.
And they were fifth.
Then you're going to go to the postseason. Unless you're the Chargers because them. But, I mean, even go to 2020. I mean, it's not going to be that hard. Like, if you go to NFL points per game in 2020, I imagine it's going to be the exact same scenario for the top 10 scoring teams and the rate at which they at least went to the postseason, which means you didn't have a bad year. You weren't a disaster.
2020, the Packers, Bills, Bucks, Titans, Saints, Chiefs,
Ravens,
Seahawks, Colts, Raiders. A little bit different that year, but still, there were more that year. But in general, if you're toward the top in offense, you're going to at least be in the 9-plus win category at minimum. And that's why the low bar is 10.
This is also why, I don't know about focusing on, like, rebuilding a defense is as big of a deal as, you know, like, we're like, hey, do you really need a corner in the first round? Like, Cody, what do you need another wide receiver? I'm like, well, I don't know. Because if you have a good offense, you go to the playoffs. Having a good defense does not mean that. That is not a guarantee.
Not in today's NFL.
Having a good offense, having a great offense does that. Now, the same argument gets flipped on its head if you're just like, well, with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they'll have a good offense, which is essentially the argument we're making for the offense this year because they lost one of the NFL's best playmakers, and we still think they're going to be a top five offense in the NFL in the points per game. So do you need to spend it if you have those guys and can do it? It's a big, big, big stretch. I wonder how long it'll take us to have this conversation, though, because that's the other interesting aspect of this, is that, again,
maybe it comes up
very,
you know,
few teams like the
Kelsey's
Patriots.
Not around, and you know if they haven't solved their other offensive weapon problems, and the day comes where Kelsey's not that guy anymore, maybe there's some questions. But it's hard when Mahomes is in his prime, man, and as long as he's linked with Andy Reid, you're gonna have a very difficult time convincing me that offensively they're going to actually truly struggle. Not the struggles that we talked about last year where, like, end of the world struggles and they were still able to finish towards the top part of the league. I'm talking about legitimate struggles. With Patrick Mahomes, I don't see that happening.
The Packers have had one bad, you know, we always say it's just the Patriots. The Packers have had one, by the metric we just said, bad year under Aaron Rodgers.
And that was the last year of McCarthy, correct?
Correct.
Or was it 2 years before?
No, they were 6-9-1 that last year of McCarthy. The year before that, they were 7-9, but Brett, he got hurt, and Brett Hundley started a bunch of the games.
Oh, that was where he only played like 3 or 4 games that year.
Yeah, so that I'm not counting that. They've had one bad year. Singular. I mean, maybe two if you want to count 2013 where they finished 8-7. Went to the playoffs still.
Oh, gee. They made the playoffs 8-7.
8-7-1.
Oh, gosh.
So, I mean, like, if you have an elite core, and honestly, I'm not sure that this isn't just going to get higher and higher in the list because you just named the top offenses. Like, if we listed the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Russell Wilson is the only dude where you're like, didn't make the postseason last year, right? Like, so maybe one a year, I guess Justin Herbert, maybe one a year where you're going to make a strong argument for those guys don't get through. Other than that, you're just going to think it's the exact same thing. Like, if you have a great quarterback, you're going to the postseason. And if you don't, then you better have a lot of your chances of sucking go much higher. That's the difference in here. So, no. I guess we're on similar plane to that, at least where we're looking at it.
Yeah, no question. So, look, we've also been looking at stadium stuff, both with the Royals and the Chiefs, and the Royals' timeline might have been sped up, as we discussed on Monday's show. And there was more news out in Buffalo, and you said, why does Buffalo matter? Well, we know they're in the process, and it's already been approved for their new stadium out with the Buffalo Bills, where the state's going to pony up over $500 million, if closer to $600 million for their new stadium. And in that, it's now been announced that the Bills are going to have personal seat licenses, these PSLs, that this is not a new concept to help pay for the private portion of the new stadium. So this is where the also gets you.
Public, we'll just pay for all that.
Public-private partnership, let's say in this case for the Bills, it's $600 million public money. The rest will be private. So how do they make up for some of the private money? Well, then we're going
to
charge
the public to pay for it.
If you want to purchase
like a partnership
season ticket with the Bills. Now, this is, again, it's not a new concept. So this has been going, you can go back, like, this has been around for 10, 15 years in the NFL. It's just not every team has it. The Chiefs, fortunately, hadn't been a team. The Bills' new stadium is going to have it.
Which likely means,
don't be too shocked, if the Chiefs' new stadium, assuming they get a new stadium, is not going to have that as well, or likely would, which again means, let's say it's $10,000 for the right, basically, to purchase season tickets to go spend another $10,000 or whatever it is for tickets with a stadium that likely will have less capacity as well. Therefore, the ticket prices will cost more. That's where this thing is headed.
So normally in these situations, it's a one-time fee. The Bills one is reportedly going to be around $1,000 for the lower priced tickets. Now, 50-yard line, where Nick sits with, you know, when he went
true,
to the game.
True.
50-yard line, eight rows back, probably a little
rows,
bit more.
Eight rows from the third deck.
Could you imagine if,
from the top.
That's not where you were.
Could you imagine if baseball did PSLs, Nick, where Cody was sitting in the crowd? Could you imagine what those would have caught? Although they weren't, that was just a single game, so I guess you're good.
That's
you know?
More money than I've ever even thought about in my life.
Same.
That owned, just thought about even having.
I wasn't sure. I was at the Rose game on Monday night, and I wasn't sure. I thought I saw.
I was not.
I thought I saw somebody down in the Crown Club. I was up, you know, working in the press box. But I thought I saw you sipping back some drinks in the Crown Club again on Monday night.
That was not accurate. Here's the question. I guess I have is, you gonna pay it? 913-576-7610. If it's $1,000. Before you buy your season tickets, are you going to pay it? Like, is that enough to convince you to walk away from it? Because my guess is most people or somebody else will pay it otherwise these organizations won't keep doing this.
Yeah.
But this, like, when we come back to the stadium stuff and you're like, oh, Cody, I mean, this is the way that works and this is the way stadiums just work. This is why I get frustrated. Yeah. It's a public-private partnership. Let's just for the sake of this conversation, let's say it's dead even. It's a $1.2 billion stadium and $600 million is going to be funded by the team and $600 million is going to be funded by the public. Of the $600 million, they're going to get $100 million of it just by selling PSLs to you. So it's not. It's even more like, and then they're going to get some of that back by just charging you higher rates of concession prices or higher rates of parking or higher rates for your tickets. Yeah. And it's just like, so this isn't.
It's great business to be an owner in sports.
God, it's such great, a it's, racket it's for the people.
It's great to be an owner in sports. And obviously these guys are all wealthy long before they became NFL owners as well. But yeah, this will be, you know, we can talk for the next couple of years about where the stadium could be, the financing aspect from the state level taxpayers. And then once that gets done, then don't be surprised if you're hit with, oh, by the way, also, we plan on having PSLs. Just... Again, so, the Chiefs are
$1,500 up front if you don't mind just paying. And it's look, I know it's the model, but you got to be honest. Yeah. It does feel like you're being robbed twice.
Of course,
the profit, you know, the cost is going to go up a second time, and then in addition, you're doing this. You're right. This is not nearly as common in baseball. It happens in a couple of places like New York, like the Yankee Stadium and stuff. It's not. I don't think that would happen in the downtown Royal
for baseball,
Stadium.
I don't.
It
think,
would for the suites. They'll probably do this for the suites, but you know. I don't know if you can buy a suite. I guess I don't. Like, it's harder to be like, oh no, poor you.
Now look, you can still buy single game tickets from someone else, but it's just if you're a season ticket holder, it potentially could cost you a lot more up front than what it ever has.
I want to know if, like, your brother-in-law has season tickets.
Mm-hmm. His family does. Yep.
You think he just pony up another $1,500?
I can't speak to his
blink of an eye.
I have no idea.
Can we call? Can you give me his number?
Please get him on
Let's
the phone.
Find out.
Please get him on.
He's a good base level.
How else
person.
Are we going to get to the bottom of this?
Would you pay that, Nick? You're not a season ticket holder, but if you had already had the season tickets, you paying another $1,500?
No.
I think it'd be a tough bill.
I think more and
swallow.
More people will go with the route of just pick that one or two games a year you want to go to and buy your single game tickets from somebody individually.
Yep.
That's what I think a lot of people would end up having to do. Again, it's not confirmed that this is what the Chiefs would do, but you can kind of see where it's trending with another new stadium. And look, maybe the Chiefs will continue to be that one market or two that's not doing it. Because the Rams' new stadium has it. And I know it's different.
They're going to do it.
It's different in bigger cities, but also if you're going to do a new stadium, why? Honestly, from their perspective, why wouldn't you do it? Because you know there's going to be 40 or 50,000 people that would be willing to do it in the city.
This way, Buffalo is a great case study. They got money from the NFL, from the state of New York, from the city of Buffalo, and then they also like every citizen of Buffalo who wants season tickets to pony up personal seat licenses in addition to it. You're
it's
like,
a hell of a thing.
You're not paying for any of this. I'm paying for all this. I'm getting ripped off in this deal.
Now someone asked, is it an asset? Can you sell the rights to someone else? Yes. So
it depends on the stadium. Normally it's transferable, right?
It says it in the article related to the Buffalo Bills where, if Cody bought with his big salary and contract a PSL, if he bought one, he could actually eventually resell the rights to it to somebody else if he wanted to. So it could be viewed as an asset for an investment for somebody too.
I mean, I feel like how good does the seat got to be for that to be an appreciable asset versus you just buy the PSL?
Depends on what the team's. Now, for the Chiefs, it's going to happen where they're in the prime of Mahomes' career. So it's a little bit
Same
different.
Same with the Bills. They just do it in the prime of Josh
That's
Allen.
That's where it's different versus if the team had a new stadium, they weren't good and you felt like they could be good, maybe it's different. But yeah, it's going to be at its peak level for the next 10 years still. Mahomes isn't even 30 years old yet.
This is another reason why both these teams want to get moving quick. The Royals want to get moving downtown because we know all the appeal and all that stuff. Well, and the Chiefs would like them to get moving because they want to take advantage of their peak window. Now, this is not the peak Royals play window, based on how they're playing.
Is there a chance this all happens like way sooner than we think?
The earliest right now is that the Royals want to get in 2026. Is that earlier than you would have expected?
They want to be in there.
Yeah. So that means the stadium, playing baseball by the beginning of the 2026
season. You're
breaking
ground in the next 2 years.
Well, that's why the thought is in the Casey Starr had that article earlier in the week, that the ballot initiative for that could be next year, so 2023. And I think we saw how this has gone in the past when the Chiefs and Royals wanted renovations the last time and they had to get public money and there was the ballot for that and the whole rolling roof stuff. They'll combine the proposals together versus doing it separately, you would think. Like, you try to do it all one swoop versus making people vote twice for $500 million.
Honest to God, that'd make a lot of sense if you're the Chiefs and Royals, just convince them.
Well, that's what they've done with the renovations costs in the past. So like,
yeah, but now they're moving to two different sites. Like, it's easier to convince them when they're
on the same.
Well,
yeah, it only applies if the Chiefs stay in Missouri. Like, obviously, if the Chiefs are moving out of state, it's a completely different conversation.
Well, the NFL will give the Chiefs money towards their stadium. That's not the way it works in Major League Baseball. They're not going to just pony up $100 million. The NFL's been giving regularly. Every NFL team, like $200 million. $300 million to build their new stadiums. They've got so much cap. They're just like, here's a few hundred million dollars. It's fine. We don't care. Build your new stadium because it makes the league worth way more money, makes everyone way more money, and we're all in this together, getting rich together. Baseball, they're not doing that yet. So, like, there is a way to combine it, but there are still some hangups in that, I think, because also Missouri, the state, wouldn't be likely to give the Royals money for their stadium as likely as they would be to give the NFL team.
Yeah, but from a making sure it passes standpoint, we've seen what they've done with the renovations in the past.
That means we have to pay for the Cardinals renovations too,
On the ballot, Well, we wouldn't vote on
as a state.
It. Yeah, the state would have to do that. The Cardinals aren't. Last time I checked, there aren't any nearby plans of them talking renovations or anything with their stadium.
No, but that's just the way it works.
No,
give it 2 years and they will be.
Fine. I mean, let them worry about their thing. I'm not worried about
it. No, I'm just saying, like, the NFL, like, this is why I think it's complicated to roll these two deals in together.
I think that's the only way to do it.
Interesting.
That's how they've always done it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just hard because they're on two different states now.
But they're both still, assuming the Chiefs stay in Missouri, they both would even still be in the same county.
Sure. Right? And doing it the same way.
Because think about from a voter's perspective, if you're voting on, let's say the Royals one comes up because they're trying to move quicker and it comes up in 2023 and the public price tag is $570 million. I'm just throwing out a random number. All right, you vote, it passes.
It's probably a billion, but
For public money. I don't know if the public's going to give a billion for each stadium, public money. I know the cost of the stadium is going to be way over that.
That's about right.
So, okay, let's say it's that number even, right?
I think it's probably $2 billion between the two.
Okay.
That number hurts. Public.
Again, I can't say you're wrong either.
That's about
50%
of the cost. I mean, I might be a little off. I think it's about between $1.5 and $2 billion.
We just got done talking about Buffalo's as a state, the state of New York giving $600 million. Why would the Chiefs? Yeah. I don't know if it's gonna be a billion for each. That seems crazy. But like, either way, the point being, two separate times to vote. One time you're voting for whatever the dollar amount is, and then 3 years later you're gonna vote again for whatever the dollar amount is. I think you have to combine the two. Makes it a little bit easier to swallow because then you tie the Chiefs and Royals together. Someone that might not care about the Royals cares about the Chiefs, vice versa.
The Bills, it was $600 million in state, but it was $850 in public funds total. So that's why I get to the $1.5 to $2 billion. Like, if it's $800 million per... Now, look, the baseball stadium should cost less than an NFL stadium.
Yeah, are we confused? I'm saying $500 or $600 for each stadium.
Yeah, I'm saying $1.5 to $2 billion total. Both.
Got it. Yeah, okay. We're on the same. I thought you were saying $1 billion for each stadium of public money.
No, that seems
crazy.
Well, I mean, I guess on the high end, yes. Because the Bills got $850 billion in public funds for theirs.
Million.
Yeah, sorry. Billion would maybe.
That would be a hell of a stadium. That would be a hell of a stadium. It would
have been the Pentagon. They play football there.
That would be something else.
But I don't know how they're going to, like, they should lump together because it's going to seem like the price tag doesn't seem as bad.
No, someone says the Kansas Speedway, and I don't know because I actually have been out there maybe one time, but the Speedway had PSLs when it first opened for people to buy season tickets. If that's the case, then okay, there you go. I don't know what that dollar amount. I would love to know what that
dollar
amount is.
The one thing you learn is that you'll always find people.
Yeah,
someone says, if you give up your seats, somebody else will probably pay for them.
From the 785 on the text line says, this is where Kansas did the right on sports betting. 10% goes to a fund to attract pro sports teams. We've talked about this a ton. I think that's overblown, personally. I think that sounds great and all, but if the fund over 10 years maybe raises $50 million, that won't be the reason the Chiefs do or don't leave Missouri for Kansas. $50 million is not nothing. I get it. But when we're talking about, a $1.7 billion project, Is that going to really be the difference? It helps if the state has to pony up $600 million. Yeah, having 50 set aside from that, sure, it's nice. Like, it, but it's not the reason.
No, the bigger reason would be, is a city willing to pay for two pro sports teams? This right. is why they want to yeah. be lumped together, as you've pointed yeah. out, or why you would want to be right. lumped together, because then it's not you're not separating the two.
Coming up next, we'll get to what's trending and the latest with accountability within the Royals organization.
You're listening to Cody and Gold on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!